to Genesis chapter 12, the Lord has said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And then if we move to Genesis chapter 15, just turn over the page. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up to the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So this morning we're going to be looking at this question: how can people go to heaven if they lived before Jesus? And it's a great question. It's a great question for a number of reasons. It's a great question because it reveals real understanding. It reveals understanding that for us, who are this side of Jesus who's coming, that we're only saved, we only get to be in heaven as God's people because of Jesus. Because he died on the cross to take our punishment for doing things our way rather than God's way. And that those who believe in Jesus are safe. And they can look forward to an eternity in heaven with him. But what about those who lived before Jesus came? How did they get to go to heaven? And do you want to know what the answer is? Really simply, here it is. 1, 2, 3. It's Jesus. That's the answer. Let's go home. Now, how is it Jesus? How's the answer is Jesus? Well, we're going to get our thinking caps on this morning. See, now here's the cross. This represents when Jesus came, okay? Here, this is the time when Jesus came. And we stand this side of Jesus' coming. Jesus came here, hundreds of years later, we're here now. And we, as believers, we look, as it were, back to what Jesus has done. We look back to what Jesus has done on the cross, in his death and his resurrection. And as we look back and believe what he has done, we're saved. For the Old Testament believers, though, they stand this side before Jesus is coming, and they look forward to what Jesus will do. They look forward to what Jesus would do. And they did that by believing the promises of God. And every time we say that this morning, believe the promises of God, I want you to say that with me, okay? So it's up there, believe in the promises of God. After three, 1, 2, 3.
Believe in the promises of God.
All I'm going to do from now on is this.
Believe in the promises of God.
Brilliant. That's how they did it. They looked forward to what Jesus would do by excellent. Now, what's a promise? A promise is when someone says they'll do something in the future and you have to believe they will. So if your parents this afternoon promised this morning to take you swimming this afternoon, you would expect them, wouldn't you, to take you swimming this afternoon. If they promised you this morning to say, "Hey, we're going to go swimming this afternoon," you would expect them to take you swimming when it got to the afternoon. And when they took you swimming, they would then fulfill, make true, the the promise that they said they would do. And the Old Testament believers, and they had to believe those promises, even when they couldn't understand, even when they couldn't grasp, even when they couldn't quite work out how it would all happen. They still had to believe. And throughout the Old Testament, God is beginning to teach who he will save and how he will save. It's a kind of like, it's a model, a shadow of what Jesus will do. Now, here's a model of a Virgin Atlantic 747. It's slightly damaged. We're missing a slight wheel here and a few bits here. But it's a very good model, isn't it? And you look at this and you go, wow, that's what a 747 Virgin Atlantic looks like. And you can see all the little windows, you can see the doors, you can see the engines. It's even got a name on here. One of them, can't read, quite read it. But here it is. Now, you look at it and you go, that's good. But when you get to the airport and you look out the window and you suddenly see a real one, you go, wow, that's amazing. That's so much better than the model. I mean, the model's good, but look at it. Look how big it is. How does that get off the ground? You know, how does it fly? Look at the size of it. It's amazing. It's so much better. I mean, the model's good, but the real thing is amazing, isn't it? And the Old Testament is the model. It's the kind of in miniature what God is going to do in Jesus. And the Old Testament kind of represents, it shows us, reveals in the miniature what Jesus will come and do and why. And in the Old Testament, it's good. I mean, it's good. But you get to Jesus and it's amazing. It's so much better. Jesus is so much better. You go, the Old Testament is good, but Jesus is better. Do you see? That's how it's working. And the Old Testament guys, they are looking forward to what Jesus would do, and they're going through this model, this shadow, and they know it's good, but they know something much better is coming. And what do they have to believe? What was it that they had to believe? What promises of God did they have to believe? Well, firstly, they had to believe that what God promised, they had to believe what God promised to be made. They had to believe what God promised made them friends with God. That's what happened. I didn't change it. Made them friends with God. They had to believe that what God promised made them friends with God. Okay? That's the first thing. That's what we learn in Genesis chapter 15. Have a look with me. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. This is a really important verse. It's a really important verse because it helps us to understand how God is going to be working in the Old Testament to save people so that they can go to heaven. And God speaks to Abraham and promises him that he'll have many descendants. He'll have many, many descendants. A big, big family. More than he can count. More than the stars in the sky. And these promises build on what God has promised Abraham in Genesis 12 that we read, that God would make this man and his family his, God's special people. Now, what God promises here to Abraham is even more remarkable, because Abraham was very old and Abraham had no children. He was past the age of having children. He was old and he had no children. But we read that God promises him that he's going to have this big family. And we read in Genesis 15, verse 6, have a look, that Abram, or Abraham as his name will become, believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. That is, Abraham was made right, friends with God, because he believed what God said. He believed. And because he did, he was made friends with God. Now, why is that important? Because we now see how God works. Those who believe his promises by faith, that is, they trust God, will be made right, friends with God. It's by faith, by trusting and believing in God's promises, in God's word, that made Abraham friends with God. And the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 4, he uses Abraham as his model, as his example. He explains, Paul writes, look, we too as Christians, this side of the cross, are saved by faith. We're saved by trusting in God's promises about Jesus. Paul says, for us now, it is by faith. It's by about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, just as Abraham and became friends with God. And Abraham didn't understand all that would mean, but he believed. He had faith. And so we, by faith, like Abraham, about Jesus, and were saved. And Abraham believed, looking forward to Jesus, and we believe, looking back to Jesus. But as we believe the promises, that is what ultimately saves us, isn't it? Now, what were the promises absolutely they had to believe? Well, they had to believe what God promised about salvation. They had to believe what God promised about salvation. So, are you with me so far? Okay, we're all there so far, good. They had to believe what God promised about salvation. Now, the big act of salvation, where God saves his people and they become his people, as it were, come to know he is their God, is Exodus 12, and it's the Passover. It's the great act of salvation in the Old Testament. Now, do you remember the story of the Passover? Shaking our heads? Some do, some don't. Let me tell it to you. Here we go. Abraham. Do you remember our friend Abraham? Very old man, but believes the promises. By believing the promises, he's made right with God. He has a son called Isaac. Isaac has a son called? And Esau. But Jacob is the key one. Very well done. Jacob has? Name them. Ah, I'm just kidding. Okay. 12 sons. One of them was Joseph. Joseph's not liked by his brothers, his oldest brothers, so they send him off to slavery to Egypt. He's in Egypt. He ends up, winds up in jail, but becomes really important under Pharaoh as he helps Pharaoh interpret his dreams. And we suddenly discover that there's this famine coming across Egypt that's going to kill lots of people unless Joseph so does things right that he stocks food up and is able to help and care for Egypt. And in the midst of this famine, back to our friends Jacob and his 12 sons, they are now taken to Egypt and they get food and looked after and cared for. God is providing for these descendants, this family, who's going to care for, and they're now in Egypt. And then we're told after a period of time, we know exactly about 400 years, this family, these 12 sons, their wives and their children, now become this great people, this great nation. But now, at the same time, the pharaohs have forgotten how good Joseph was, and now these people who have become this nation are now enslaved, and they're in slavery. And they're treated badly, and the people, now called the Israelites, call out to God to help them. And he sends who? Moses. Now, Moses asked Pharaoh to let God's people go, but Pharaoh would not. And so God judged and punished Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and he did so by sending the plagues. And so there were plagues like the locusts and frogs, and there was darkness, and there was hail. There were 9 really harsh plagues. And Pharaoh still said, no, till the 10th and final plague, where what happened was God would kill every firstborn son in Egypt. See, Pharaoh had not let God's firstborn son go. That's what we're told in Exodus 4, that Israel was God's firstborn son. That's how God thought of this people who had descended from Abraham, that they were precious to him. And as such, God's judgment would be just, an eye for an eye. And so every firstborn in Egypt would die unless, and God promised that for those in Israel, that if they took a lamb, let it live with them for 14 days, so that it was part of the family, and then on the 14th day you had to kill this lamb, and you took its blood, and you painted it on the doorpost of your house. Just like this. See? the lamb's blood going on the doorposts. All right? There we go. Now, every firstborn son here this morning, stand up. If you're a firstborn son, stand up. Young and old, firstborn sons, stand up. Okay, tonight, you're all going to die. You are all going to die unless... Okay, you will all die unless you believe what God promised. So sit down. Are you all right for now? Now imagine if you were one of those firstborn sons on that night back in Egypt and you were in the house. What would you say? You'd go like this, wouldn't you? You'd be saying, Dad, did you put the blood on the door? Yes, son. Dad, did you do it exactly as God said? Yes, son. Don't worry, son. And you'll be safe. And that night, the angel of death passed over. And where there was blood on the door, the angel passed over. And the firstborn in that house was safe. God's judgment passed over. Where there was no blood on the door, the firstborn son died. Judgment was given, just as God had said. In every household in Egypt that night, blood was shed. Either the blood of the lamb that took the place of the firstborn son, or the firstborn son themselves. But every household that night, there was blood that was shed. And we're then told that Pharaoh said, go, and God's people left, and they were safe, and they're free, and they're now God's, and they begin the journey to the promised land, the land God had promised. But we learn an important principle. To be saved, to avoid God's judgment, they had to... They had to believe and do what God said. And the lamb had to take the judgment for them. Now remember, the Old Testament is a model. It's good. It's given us a taste of how God will save. It's beginning to help us understand. And it's good. But when Jesus comes, it's even better. And we learn in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that Jesus is called our Passover lamb. And he's not just a little animal. He's God's firstborn son. And he dies giving his blood on the cross. So that now, not just on the doorpost, what happens is Jesus' own blood is shed on the cross. So that now all about Jesus are safe when God's judgment comes, and it will. But those who... About salvation, God's judgment will pass over because Jesus has taken our judgment, because he's our Passover lamb, and our punishment that we deserved, he takes. And again, either Jesus will take the punishment or we will take the punishment, but someone will. And those in the Old Testament, as they about salvation, about the need for a sacrifice, about the need for this little lamb, as they trusted, they were ultimately looking forward, even if they didn't know it, to when the Lamb Jesus would die, to take their judgment and ours. They looked forward, we look back. Like us, they had to about salvation. Now, they were God's people, but how would they now live as God's people? Well, thirdly and finally, they had to believe what God promised about how to live. They had to believe what God promised about how to live. See, the Israelites, having been saved, God takes them now to Mount Sinai, and he says these words to them, Exodus 19, verse 4. He says to them this, now, if you obey me fully, verse 5, and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, my promises, then out of all the nations, you'll be my treasured possession. See, in order to now live as God's people, they had to about how to live. And so he gave them his law, his good, gracious, kind law. And he said to them, look, this is the best way to live. If you keep this, you'll be blessed as my people. And if you keep this, you'll be able to live with me and you'll be able to know me and I'll dwell with you. And he gave them a long list of law that told them how to live and treat one another and how to be able to spend time with him as a holy God. But they had to about how to live. But sadly what happened, most of the people did not believe what God promised about how to live. And they started to live how they wanted. And they did things their own way, not God's way. And God punished them for doing so. And he removed them from the land that he had given them. And he allowed their enemies to defeat them in battle because they stopped about how to live. Now remember, the Old Testament is a model. It's a shadow. It's beginning to teach us and show us how to live and what it will mean to live as God's people. And in the Old Testament, we see that there's laws about how to talk with one another and relate to one another. And there's laws about particularly how to keep coming into the presence of God and what happens when you sin. And then Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, wow, it's better. It's so much better. Because when Jesus comes, what does he do? Well, he perfectly keeps the law. He perfectly obeys it, and he perfectly about how to live. So that now, as those by faith, we believe in him, not only are our sins forgiven because he's our Passover lamb, but he also gives us and clothes us his perfect obedience. So that now when God looks at me, he doesn't see all the wrong I have done. He only sees the right Jesus has done. He only sees how in Jesus I have perfectly about how to live. And he also gives me his spirit to change us and make us more like us and help us to live how God desires. And for those before Jesus, for those who did about how to live, who sought to love God and obey God's commands, even though they didn't do it perfectly, because they about how to do. They did so looking forward to what Jesus would perfectly do for them. And so Jesus gives them and he clothes them with his right living just like he does us. See, how can people go to heaven if they live before Jesus because of Jesus? As they... He makes them friends with God. As they believe what God promised about salvation, he saves them just as he saves us. As they believe the promises of God about how to live as God's people, he clothes them in his perfect obedience just as he does us. See, the Old Testament, the people, it's a model. It's showing us what will be. But they do so looking forward to what Jesus will do as they... You see, the cross works backwards and it works forwards. We, this side, look back believing what God promised he has done. They look forward believing what God promised he would do. And as they do, as they believe and trust by faith, we're told God credited them with righteousness. They're made right. They're made friends with God. They get to be in heaven. But the big question for us this morning is not, how do you get to be in heaven before Jesus? The big question for us as those this side is, how do we get to be in heaven now? And the answer, of course, is about Jesus and about what he did on the cross. So are you? Will you? And if you're not, why not? And if you want to find out more, why not join us on Life Explore that's running at the moment and find out more about what these promises of God are about and why these promises are so great and why Jesus is so much better so that you too can and get to live with Jesus now and for eternity.